Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution. In the first three parts of this series, we heard how Stephen Meyer first became interested in the question of the origin of life, how his studies at Cambridge University focused his work on the origin of information, and what the DNA evidence for intelligent design means for origin of life researchers. Today, we'll hear more from Dr. Meyer responding to critics of intelligent design, such as Richard Dawkins and his book, The God Delusion.
It's interesting when you look at Dawkins's argument in The God Delusion. It's a very simple argument. It runs like this. He says, God, you know, there's no evidence for God's existence. God is tantamount to a delusion. Why? Well, because the best evidence that we always had for the existence of God was the evidence of design in nature, and the design argument was the best argument for God's existence. He says, the design argument is now defunct, it's dead, it's been refuted, therefore belief in God is tantamount to a delusion. Interestingly, though, in saying he just simply asserts that the design argument is dead and sort of refers the reader to his 1986 work, The Blind Watchmaker. But neither in The Blind Watchmaker nor in any of his subsequent work does Dawkins take on the argument that I'm making, the argument from the presence of digitally specified information inside the DNA molecule. Dawkins doesn't address that argument. But yet he does acknowledge that we don't know how life first arose, and the main reason that origin of life research has come to an impasse is that scientists who work on that don't have an explanation for this central feature of life, namely the origin of the information that's encoded in DNA, RNA, and proteins. So Dawkins has essentially acknowledged that he can't explain this appearance of design, the presence of the machine code in the genes, as he calls it elsewhere, and yet he also asserts that the design argument has been defunct, and yet the central feature of life that looks designed is the presence of information inside the cell. So if you can't explain that, and you would also acknowledge that that's an appearance of design, then how can you be sure that there's no evidence of real design in nature if you can't explain that central appearance of design? And that's really the topic of the book, is to I look at the different competing explanations that have been offered to try to explain the origin of life, particularly the origin of the information you would need to build life, and I show why they have failed. And then I propose an alternative explanation, one which is based on our knowledge of the way the world works, our knowledge, our uniform and repeated experience of cause and effect. What we know from experience is that the only known cause of information-rich systems, of digitally specified encoded information, is mind, is intelligence. And therefore, we can infer that intelligence is the best explanation for the information that we see inside DNA. That argument has not been refuted. It's not been addressed. It certainly hasn't been addressed by Richard Dawkins. If anything, he's made concessions in its direction, and yet he still asserts that the design argument is defunct.
The design argument is alive and well. Though Darwinists may want to avoid addressing the appearance of design in the DNA molecule, the evidence is there in the digitally specified information, and Meyer isn't about to let them forget it. Using Charles Darwin's own method of scientific reasoning, Meyer shows how intelligent design is the best explanation for the origin of life.
I look at the competing explanations that have been offered to try to explain the origin of information, and there have been several. There have been explanations that are based mainly on chance or random processes. There are explanations that have been based on law-like processes of what scientists sometimes call necessity, things that always occur with perfect regularity. And there have been explanations that have been based on a combination of chance and necessity, random variations with some law-like process. And I show that each one of those categories of explanation, as well as the individual explanations that exemplify them, have failed to account for the central feature of life, which is the origin of information. I also show that my conclusion in that regard is somewhat uncontentious. If you get into the literature and origin of life biology, you find that most scientists who work on the problem recognize that none of the major approaches have really worked, that the field's in a state of impasse. And I say, well, wait a minute. Let's not just limit our options to those basically materialistic approaches, chance, necessity, the combination of the two, matter and motion. That's been the strategy that scientists have used to try to explain the origin of life. I say, let's look at everything we know about reality, not limit ourselves to materialistic processes, because we do know of a cause that's capable of explaining the origin of information, and that cause is mind, it's intelligence. Whenever we see information and we know the cause of where it came from, whenever we know its source, whether we're talking about an ancient hieroglyphic, whether we're talking about a section of code in a software program, whether we're talking about a page of text in a book, and we trace that information back to its source, we always find that there was an intelligent cause there, a mind, not an undirected process. That's something we know from our experience of the world. Why can't we bring that to bear to consider what might be the best explanation for the origin of biological information? And I argue that based on, ironically, Charles Darwin's own method of reasoning, his own idea of what a good scientific hypothesis should look like when you're trying to explain the past, that we should, in fact, invoke intelligent design as the best scientific explanation. Why? Because what we know from our uniform and repeated experience is that intelligent agents, mind, is capable of producing information. And that was the key rule that Darwin put forward from based on his study of Charles Lyell, which was explanations of events in the past should be based on our knowledge of the causes now in operation. And one of the causes now in operation, in fact, the only cause ever known to produce information is mind or intelligence. And so I say, if that's the only known cause, then if we have the effect that cause produces, that cause must have been operative in the past, and we ought to allow ourselves to consider that as an explanation for the origin of life.
By not limiting science to materialistic processes, the cause of information can correctly be inferred to intelligence, a mind, and not an undirected process. Critics charge that this isn't science, an exercise in missing the point. What's the real question people need to ask about intelligent design? According to Meyer, it's whether or not it's true.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about this whole question of is intelligent design science first, okay? What if we turned the tables and said, well, is chemical evolutionary theory science? Or let's talk about any other subject. Let's say, is Darwinian evolution science? Is string theory science? Is Newton's theory of gravitation science? Well, you know, people could say yes or no, depending on how they define science, okay? And actually, the whole question of whether or not something is science is really not very interesting. It's kind of a distraction. What we really want to know about each of those theories is not whether or not they're science according to some abstract definition of what science is. What we want to know is are those theories not scientific? Are they true? Okay, the important question is Darwinian evolution true? Not is it science? And so what people have done in the debate when they're talking about intelligent design is they've shifted the question, they've shifted the issue from an interesting question of truth, is intelligent design true? Now that would be an interesting question, to a trivial question of definitions. Is it science or is it philosophy or is it historical science or is it religion? You know, in other words, they're wanting to categorize the theory rather than assess it and to determine whether or not it's true. And I think that the whole debate about whether intelligent design is science or not is really a red herring. It's only come up in America because people want to know how to categorize ideas so they can decide whether or not it's okay to talk about them in the science classroom. But we, you know, and this is what determined the outcome of the trial in Dover, Pennsylvania, where the judge said, well, intelligent design isn't science. Therefore, it must be religion. Therefore, we can't talk about it. You know, and therefore, it's probably not true. And this is, I think, what he was also implying. And I want to reframe the debate. The question is, does the evidence support intelligent design? The question is intelligent design likely to be true? Now, that's an interesting question.
Signature in the Cell, DNA and the Evidence for Intelligent Design is published by HarperOne, an imprint of HarperCollins. Visit the website at signatureinthecell.com to buy your own copy and learn more. This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2008. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.